All right, we got bird flu, we got monkey pox, we got West Nile, we got Triple E, and we got sloth fever. What the heck is going on? We're going to cover that. Also, is the last remaining free speech platforms about to be taken down as well? Well, to tackle all this, to make sense of this, I'm bringing in the bishop from Alabama. I'm talking about Larry Ragland from The Big Picture. So tonight, we're going to talk about it. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, welcome everybody. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I'm your host, founder, pastor, and voice of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero. And we want to welcome you to the broadcast. We've got a lot of different audiences in here tonight. And listen, if this is your first time joining us, either from End Time Headlines, from The Big Picture, we welcome all of you here. And we love you guys already. We welcome you to the program or to the channel. And before we get started, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button, wherever you're watching from. And if you guys are over at The Big Picture, help Pastor Larry out. Hit that like button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. Because listen, not only does this help you keep up with our content, but it's going to help us push this material out on these platforms while we still can. Trust me, we need all the help we can because we're fighting against algorithms and censorships and shadow bannings. So we need to get the word out. So also, real quick, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to pick that up today. As always, we always tell you here, the social media is fine. You can find our content. We're everywhere. And but don't rely on that. Look for our free app. It's available. It's free for your convenience to be a blessing to you. You can find it on Apple, Android. Again, depending on your device, pick it up today. Don't forget to hit yes to push notifications. You're going to catch every breaking news, every headline, every podcast, everything we put out. It's going to be right there at your fingertips. So without further ado, guys, it's been a while. And I'm excited to get him back on. And this time it's a little bit different. Don't adjust your YouTube or whatever you're watching or listening from. Today I've got him coming on to End Time Headlines, and we're going to try to sort out some of this mess. And I've got a lot of questions for him. So without further ado, let's welcome Bishop Larry Ragland.
Thank you so much, brother. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate you having me on the End Time Headlines and all the ETH family. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. I couldn't fit 3,000 people in this little studio, so you don't hear the roaring clapping, but we're cheering you on, brother.
Hey, I'll do it for you.
There they are.
That's for you, brother. That's for you.
So, man, it's good to have you back on. I know we some circumstances came up and we wasn't able to get onto your program. Can you believe it's been almost a month ago?
It's crazy. And I hope that you're feeling better and everything is turning around for you, brother. I know you've been going through a lot. Everybody's been going through a lot because the devil is a liar and he don't want this going out.
Yes, absolutely. We've been through the ringer, brother, but I hold on to that scripture with where there is a great and effectual door, there comes much adversity. So I'm in one of those believers that believes that if you're not a threat to the kingdom of hell, then I'd be worried. But the fact that there's this much adversity, come on, I'll take that with a badge of honor any day. Amen.
Yes, sir. Any day.
So listen, maybe you're listening to the podcast today and this is your first time coming on here. And this is the first time you've heard of Bishop Larry Ragland. So we want to get you acquainted with his website, and we're going to put that up here so we can show you this. All right, if you've not found him on his website, I want to encourage you to go to LarryRagland.com. Again, LarryRagland.com. When you go on there, you're going to scroll down. You're going to see all kinds of – he's got his podcast on there, his video, Big Picture Podcast. I believe he's even he's got all kinds of connections there. You can connect with him on social media and everything. So if you want to keep up with what Bishop is doing – over at The Big Picture and everything he's doing. Again, the best place to go is LarryRagland.com. And I know he would agree with me on this, that, you know, these social media sites are good. They're great to have, but we can't rely on them. And we're going to talk about that today, why that is. So brother, can you believe, I know we was at the introduction of this And when I was naming these things off, was your head spinning? I mean,
oh yeah.
We've got bird flu, monkey pox, West Nile. By the way, West Nile is what we're being told that Dr. Fauci is now suffering with. I mean, this, do you not think it's ironic? We talked about this on one of my podcasts recently, that here's the guy that was the poster child for the jab. Get every jab you can. Guy's been triple boosted, yet he's had the want virus at least three times we know of. Now he's been hospitalized with West Nile, yet they constantly tell us, hey, you got to get those shots so you can prevent the very things that got this guy in the hospital. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I don't believe for a moment. First of all, I've got to the place right now. I'm such a, I guess you call it, conspiracy theorist, and I've red pilled so deep now, and I just literally doubt anything I hear. So when I hear that Dr. Ouchie Fauci had this new West Nile virus and all this, my mind immediately goes, no, I don't believe it. I mean, there's something else that's going on. And I don't believe that of all the people that's famous and prominent, he gets this from a mosquito. No, he was in a lab. If he had it, he was in a lab weaponizing it, doing something with it, and he got it from the lab. He did not get it. If he did even get it, he did not get it from a mosquito. He got it from a lab, and they're trying to spin it because they had to hospitalize him, that some mosquito where he lives bit him. I don't believe that. If that was the case, you'd be hearing people all over the country going in the hospital from mosquito bites. Why? Unless God just said, you know, looked at the mosquito and said, hey, we need to deal with this guy right here. So I'm just going to send you down there to this guy here that's been causing a lot of trouble, which I'm being funny here. But the reality is, what I'm trying to say is, I don't believe the narrative. I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am.
Brother is not holding back. He's coming out with the big guns. He went straight to the laboratory conclusion. He went straight to the laboratory conclusion. And I mean, it's not like this guy's never been in a laboratory in China. Oh, wait exactly. A minute.
Exactly.
But that's exactly. Not where it stops. What about now? I want to ask you about this. We're going to talk about this, and I want to get your opinion on this. Triple E. Now, obviously, that's an acronym. Ladies, that's not a women's garment size, and that's not a wrestler. The Triple E is an acronym for some weird virus that this is insanity, Larry. One elderly individual died of this recently in New Hampshire, and as a result of that, they now there's what, four cities in Massachusetts that are doing quote unquote voluntary lockdowns. New York City is like, they're like saturating the whole city. Like it looks like the want all over again, just coming in there, just spraying things down. And health officials quote, give a grim warning. Now we talked about this. We posted about this, and I'd love to hear, I would love to hear, and I have a hunch that we're going to kind of hang out in this same conclusion, but this is crazy. Have you ever heard of locking down? I mean, do mosquitoes understand curfew? Like, I mean, are they going to be like, guys, it's 6 o'clock. We need to go back in the woods and stay out until the curfew's over. Crazy.
Oh, it reminds me of the time, you know, during the lockdowns where you'd go into a restaurant and you'd have to wear the mask from the front door to your table, but then when you got to your table, you could take the mask off to eat. All you know, and so somehow this virus understood.
Come on,
there's a barrier right there at the table that it doesn't communicate with each other and transfer this to anyone else. But the moment you get up to go to the bathroom and you walk right past the area that you were breathing in when the waiter came over there to you, it activates again. It's just pure silliness. And honestly, what it really is it is, you know, you go back to the World Economic Forum, you go back to the World Health Organization, all these roundtable exercises that they've ran about this supposed disease X that you and I both have talked about that they've said is coming, that's much worse than the wah-wah that we just went through. But the reality is this, I've begun to believe that disease X is not necessarily a specific virus. I believe that they, and one of the, to answer your statement and question about Triple E and the West Nile and all this, I believe that we're getting rapid fire hit from all different kinds of viruses. And the eventual goal is people are not going to stay in their house over this one thing that one person unfortunately fell prey to, which you and I both know also probably many other mitigating circumstances were involved in this person's life. They didn't probably just die of it, just like most people didn't die of the wah-wah. They had other situations in their life, in their health, that were preconceived conditions that were already there that it just exacerbated it. But here's the reality. I believe there's going to be a convergence. They're going to try to promote the convergence of a super virus that is multiple things coming together. That's the only way you're going to scare people who are awake from the situation that we just went through. There's just no way, even the people that are sheep that just sort of followed and got right in line and put the face diaper on and all the kind of stuff that they went through and got in line and stayed 6 feet apart and all the silliness when you think about the world that we lived in, that so many people just got in line. The majority of them are not going to get in line again because many of them have awakened. But if you get something that's so scary, that is a convergence of many different things, and then you start seeing them talk about that. That's just my opinion. Gospel according to Larry is what I like to say is I believe that's where disease X is going. And they're going to pull out every stop they can, Ricky. You and I both know it. You know, look, I don't want to get too political here, but the reality is this. There is a reason why they are throwing everything in the kitchen sink right now, because there is one side that of this whole political world here that they are scared to death of. And you have to ask yourself the question, why are they scared so bad? What is it about it? And just this morning, I was listening to a podcast, and it was reminding us, it was about the World Health Organization, and which I don't want, trying my best not to get your broadcast flagged here. So, but they were reminding us that when this person, Donald Trump, was in office, he threatened to pull out the first one to ever say, we will remove ourselves from the World Health Organization if you don't back off. And he was the first president in the history of presidents that threatened to remove this country from any of the global treaties that we're in. And they are scared to death that he's going to do that again. That's why they were pushing that pandemic treaty. If you'll remember that, they were trying their best to get that pandemic treaty. And if you remember, Tedros kept saying, we've got to get this done this year, because if we don't get this done this year, we may never get it done. Well, why did he say that? Because he realized, hey, we've got a sympathetic government in the biggest country in the world, and we've got a sympathetic governments around the world. So if we're going to get this global control over lockdowns and mandates, we've got to get it now. And I think they were very surprised and shocked that there was a few countries that pushed back. Unfortunately, America was not one of them, and the EU was not, as a bloc, was not one of them. It was only a few African countries that pushed back that stopped that global pandemic treaty from going into effect. And I believe they wanted that power, Ricky, so that they could implement what you're talking about and the scare tactics for what they've got coming.
So it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like your assessment of this is generally, basically, to sum it up, is that these entities recognize that they have a small window of time. If a certain individual is elected this coming November, then it's going to throw a wrench into their plans. And their plans are, remember, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit on this. Under the fine print of this plan, the World Health Organization would have unprecedented powers.
Yes.
And Biden was a part of that. And so this would directly impact us as citizens here at the United States. So again, but here it goes again, and you're going to laugh at this. Have we heard anything else about bird flu? Remember, this was, we got to keep an eye on this. This is going to be the next pandemic. I mean, it was, they were calling like millions of turkeys and chickens. Yep. And it was, they found this stuff in ridiculous places. They found it in dolphins. They found it in anything but birds. They were finding bird flu. Right. And then now all of a sudden, monkeypox came on the scene. And it's a new strain of monkeypox. And it's like, and it's always amazing to me, like these diseases and these viruses and these plagues and pestilences, they almost know to take the back burner and let whatever the next thing is to scare us and control us, let it have precedence over everything else. And that, and we talked about this. I know you and I talked about this, even with the wars, guys. It was Russia, Ukraine. You couldn't get it. Every channel, it was on every social media constantly. But then as soon as something popped off in the Middle East with Israel, where's it at? There's no coverage of it. And this is crazy. So I agree. If you want to know where Brother Ricky stands, do you agree with Bishop Larry? Absolutely. Guys, wake up. I mean, this is happening. And now, who's ever heard of this? I've never heard of this. Now 21 people reportedly have been infected with what's called sloth fever. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I'll be honest with you. This is the first time I've heard of sloth fever.
Right.
I got to look into this.
Yeah. What is sloth fever? More than 20 people returning to the U.S. from Cuba. Imagine that. Something coming into America from outside of America. Anyway, 20,
sounds like a weapon.
Yeah, 20 individuals returning to U.S. from Cuba have been infected with a virus transmitted by bugs in recent months. Now, what's interesting, they're not saying it's just mosquitoes. They're saying bugs. Federal health officials.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I
thought we're supposed to be eating bugs.
Oh, yeah, we are. In fact, there was an article. By Michael Snyder. I don't know if you saw this. And he did a really good piece on this. And he talks about how that there is at least 2 billion people on the planet right now already eating bugs. And there is more than 2,000 types of edible insects being consumed. The reason why he's throwing all that out there is because, again, this is conditioning us.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
He did an excellent podcast on this called 12 Signs That the Globalists Plan for Us to Eat Bugs. And you say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Remember the WEF, the main head guy,
Schwab. Yes.
Yeah. They've been talking about how we need to reduce our meat consumption. And by the way, isn't it consequently, I know I'm taking a rabbit trail, but I'm not. This just came up of the wire, and I'm going to get your, I'm going to hear what you have to say about this. Did you see that, what about all of the recalls? Salmonella, there's boar's head meats. There's been multiple people that have died in the United States from a recall boar's head meats. And this is spreading across every day. It's like they're recalling this, they're recalling that, they're pulling this, the people are being hospitalized, people are dying from this. It's like, my goodness, what can we eat? What do we do?
Ricky, this is all planned. This is all planned. You and I, we were raised, we drank from a water hose outside, we ate food, the same kind of food that nowadays people are telling us is going to kill us. The reality is this. This is a planned rollout. The devil plays the long game. And those that work for the devil plays the long game. The World Economic Forum, let's just say what it is, and this may get you a little blue box underneath this show. I hope not, but they are demonic in origin. They are the narrative creator of the world. Every January in Davos, Switzerland, the world gathers, presidents, prime ministers, Hollywood, the elite, the wealthy. They all fly their private jets in, and they get their marching orders. And what we know is what is made public. A third of the meetings of the World Economic Forum happen in private with no cameras. So if what we know is already so controversial and many times demonic in nature that we see them showing us, the question is, you know, what are they really planning in behind the scenes that we don't ever get to see? Now, there's been some reporters and some content creators that have slipped in unbeknownst to people and pretended to be people and have leaked stuff out that is just horrifying. And so when you're talking about, people will laugh, and it's a sort of funny little joke. You know, we do on our show eat zip bugs and you know try to talk about Klaus Schwab. He's the absolute personification of the evil guy in every James Bond movie.
Yes,
I mean he looks like the guy in Austin Powers, all that, you know. You know, $1 million, you know, all these kind of things. He's the typical guy,
yeah.
but he's not a character in a movie. This is a very real, raised in a home. Father was a, I'm getting you flagged left and right, Ricky. Sorry,
maybe not.
But the narrative is, when you look at this, Ricky, and I know we're going to transition. We're probably planning on transitioning to this maybe later in the program, but they're all tied together. When every year in January, when they meet in Davos, every year they've been doing this since they've existed, they put out an updated top 10 threats to humanity, facing humanity. As long as social media has existed, and as long as we have been paying attention to, whether it be the ozone layer, global warming is what they would call it. Even you go back not long ago, it was going to be the coming ice age. It was acid rain, all this kind of stuff. The World Economic Forum has always sort of umbrellaed all of those under one thing called climate. And climate is a religion. When you hear people talk about climate, we need to address climate. We need to have policies that address climate change. That's their religion. And by the way, God's word clearly tells us that would be their religion, because the book of Romans chapter 1 says in the last days, not only would men be lovers of themselves, and talks about the perverse world that we live in now and how things have been redefined. It also says they will worship the creation more than the creator. So it lets us know that the final religion will be a religion that worships Mother Earth.
That's
that
good.
Worships Earth.
Wow, that's
so
good.
So that's what this is. So climate is a religion, and God told us it would be a religion. So the number one threat to humanity, as long as they've been putting these lists out every single year, and they put them out for the next 10 years, every year they'll say, we have reassessed it, and over the next 10 years, this is our top 10 list of the 10 most intimidating threats against humanity. Number one's always climate. And there's different things that will go in, wars and all this. Always climate's number one. Well, this year, in January of this year, is the first time in the history of the World Economic Forum, when they met in Davos, they put out two lists. And the two lists were the top 10 threats to humanity over the next 10 years. Climate was number one, same as always. But they put out a second list in January of this year. And only a handful of people even knew it even existed. But it was on their website, and I think it's still on their website. And that is the top 10 threats to humanity over the next 2 years. They've never done that before. They've always done the next 10 years. Well, they did it over the next 2 years. And for the first time since I could go back and find any kind of record, climate was not number one. The number one threat to humanity the next 2 years... A separate list in January of 2024, they put this out and said misinformation and disinformation.
What?
Misinformation and disinformation is the number one threat to humanity over the next 2 years.
So it's a greater threat than plagues, pestilences,
right.
Terrorism, nuclear war.
Yep.
Insane, isn't it?
And so then you factor that, when you understand that the world gets their marching orders from Davos, which, by the way, let's go ahead and get spiritual about this right here, and let's get biblical about this. When you study demonic cults and demonic religions, even in the Bible, what is the one thing they all like to do? They all like to go to the high places, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would go to the high places. They'd put their altars. They would put their Asherah poles and all this in the high places. Well, Davos, a lot of people don't realize this. Davos, the mountain of Davos, where they meet every year in January, is the highest mountain in Europe.
Wow.
In the European region. So, and it's certainly the highest point in Switzerland. So they go to the highest point, and they have set their place of the highest point in Switzerland, I should say. They set their place up there. And then on the other side of Switzerland, this is crazy, in this little country where they get their marching orders in Davos every year in January, on the other side of Switzerland is Geneva, which is where CERN is, which means people believe they're opening up portals to the demonic realm. And then it is also the headquarters, the world headquarters, watch this, of the World Health Organization. It is the World Health. It is the world headquarters of the World Bank.
Larry, recap those real quick. Bullet points. High point. This is good,
point
guys.
In Switzerland. The highest point in all of Switzerland is Davos, which is where they meet. On the other side of this little sliver of a country called Switzerland is, watch this, and I may be wrong on this, but I think I'm correct, 32 world headquarters are headquartered in Geneva. Of those 32, these are some of the ones that you would recognize. The World Health Organization, globally headquartered in Geneva. The World Bank, globally headquartered in Geneva. The Red Cross was started in Geneva. That's why the Switzerland flag is the same as the Red Cross flag, because it is a Switzerland organization. So you're talking about everything that's health-related, everything that's economic-related, everything that is disaster-responded-related, all are headquartered right above ground, and underneath all of them is the great collider called CERN, underneath all of them, dealing with the demonic realm. And on the other side of this same country is Davos at this high point. And then you factor in that Switzerland is nothing is even close to them, has more underground bunkers than any nation in the world, over 385,000 underground bunkers in the nation of Switzerland.
Guys, okay. Wow.
So this is insane when you think about that everything we believe about everything, medically, mandates, virus-related, economics,
disaster,
how we respond to disasters, it's all originates there. And is it any chance, is it just coincidence that the whole world gathers there above this CERN and places of portals that's beneath them to listen to this evil man that tells us we're going to own nothing and be happy about it and set the agenda for Agenda 2030 that is quickly, rapidly ahead to us? And now we see the CEO of Telegram arrested for not moderating his app.
Let's get into that. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So the CEO of Telegram, which is probably the least censored platform of any platform out there, was arrested, quote unquote, for lack of moderation of their app, because they believe there's not enough moderation and they want a back door to be able to come in and attack it. Elon Musk has been told, the United Kingdom and other countries in Europe have told him they're going to arrest him. Brazil threatened to arrest him. Then you have Pavlovsky, which is the CEO of Rumble. Same thing has happened to him. He was in France. He got out of France just in time. He made a tweet, said, "I escaped France. I escaped France because they were threatened to arrest me too." And then you put this, Ricky, let's roll it all the way back to what I said when I went on this diatribe here, is the number one threat against humanity from Davos in January for the next 2 years is misinformation and disinformation. And then in the same year, we have CEOs, billionaires being arrested. We have a presidential candidate who is against all of these entities having the power that they've always had, has been arrested. He's been indicted. He's now probably going to be sentenced to prison, whether he goes to prison or not. They tried to kill him. I'm telling y'all.
And Trump.
There are forces.
Yeah, let's not forget Trump. They tried to take him out. Yeah.
They tried to take him out after they've arrested him. They've indicted him. And they refused to let him take office. They've already said. There's a video out there that we played on our channel of a sitting House of Representative person. I think his name is Glaskin or something. I can't think of his name right off the bat. But he's sitting in a room and he's taking an interview. This happened about 2 months ago. He said, "We have already put in place that if he wins, we are going to take this incitement clause in the Constitution, and we will bar him on that day from becoming president. We're not going to let him become president. So when you factor all that in, you understand they're scared. That's why they're bringing these mandates. That's why they're bringing these viruses. That's why they're arresting these people, is because they, for the first time in their history, they feel intimidated that they're about to lose power. And that's the world we live in right now. And who knows how long me and you've got, brother.
Right.
But as long as we've got, we got to tell the truth.
Man, my head is just spinning from all this. I've got so many things I want to touch on real quick. There was an article that I found that I want to read this to you, Larry, because we haven't even discussed this, even off camera here. Let me give this headline. I'm going to read some bullet points of this. Telegram faces a reckoning in Europe. And by the way, Europe, guys, is real. They're the ones spearheading a lot of this. We think a lot of this comes from the U.S. No, Europe is big on this. They're passing these legislations and stuff. Let me read this again. Telegram faces a reckoning in Europe. Other founders should beware. Now, I'm not going to read all this, but I want to read this. That Durov is the first high-profile victim of a shift. Listen to this. A shift in mindset from officials who are losing patience with platforms they consider to be roiling domestic politics or fueling crime. Let me say that again. Officials are losing patience with, and I'm going to give you my translations. My translation is, officials are losing patience with platforms they consider to be roiling domestic politics. Now, here's, again, I'm going to give you my perspective on this. They are, as what we're talking about here, they're losing patience with free speech platforms that are truth speakers, that are opposing the narrative. So isn't it incredible that everybody got excited? Well, let's all hop over here. Remember, it was, what was it, Parler? Remember, everybody thought Parler was going to be the safe zone, and then they went after that, and they shut it down. Then it was Rumble. Then it was Telegram. And now, just like Larry talked about, these things are being threatened. These things are put in. So now people are saying, well, we've got Substack. You think for a moment, guys, that Substack's going to be impervious to this, that they're going to be exempt from these crosshairs. I mean, this is some crazy stuff.
Let's not forget this one thing that all of them have in common, whether they are a CNN.com or endtimeheadlines.com or LarryRagger.com. Doesn't matter. The one thing they all have in common is the internet.
Yes.
Okay, so it might be a different platform, but the platform does not work without the internet. So what we need to understand is the end game is they're going to try their best to intimidate these platforms to try to, because what is it about? It's about control. When they say they're losing patience, what they mean is we can't go on not being able to control this app because we can control everything. Zuckerberg just came out this week.
Talk about that.
Okay. So Zuckerberg, in letter to Representative Jim Jordan, the Congress admitted in writing that they were pressured during the WAN by the Biden-Harris administration to remove anything that they deemed to be misinformation on the WAN. And if you don't know what the WAN is, we're talking about the Ouchie Fauci, the jab, but any kind of thing that they did not approve. And then he goes on to say in writing that they pressured him and that he was sorry and regretful that he throttled and hid information on Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yeah, because that was in an interview with Joe Rogan. He came on the podcast and he admitted it, that the FBI came to him and said, hey, you're going to censor this. You're going to throttle this. This is insane. So let me ask you this.
Which is election interference.
Yes. And is it
election interference.
Right. And so what's the deal with this? Why is Zuckerberg, is he sincere with his apology? What's going on with this? What do you think is this a pony show? Listen, Zuckerberg, I can go on Facebook right now, his platform, and I'm in the red, brother. If I'm in the red for God only knows how long, if I say one thing wrong, post one thing, we're done. We lose our Facebook page. So it's not like they're not censoring and and deplatforming people. So don't think, I don't, listen, I know our audience, both Big Picture and End Time Headlines, we're smarter than that. We know they're gonna flag. In fact, I was hesitant on even reporting about Zuckerberg apologizing because I was afraid his own platform was going to call that misinformation.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, two things about Zuckerberg. Number one, this is my feeling. I don't have any proof of this. It's just my gut feeling. I think he's getting out in front of some whistleblowers that are about to come forth out of Facebook that are going to expose him and Meta on another level. And so that's just my opinion. And I think he's getting out in front of that. And secondly, I know what people are going to think. They're going to think, I saw you talk about is Trump. That's not the case. But I'm just telling you, this man is hated for a reason. There is something, and I know he's not the savior of the world. There's many things that I absolutely vehemently disagree with him on. And if I was sitting in the room with him, I would tell him to his face. But the reality is this, for some reason, they all fear him and they hate him. And I believe that a lot of these people, just like what we're talking about, the pandemic treaty and all this kind of stuff. And I think Zuckerberg, part of Zuckerberg and some of these others are also part of this, is we need to get some things done now. We need to cover ourselves now so that we have some plausible deniability, that we have some, you know, where we can humbly come back and say, look, we did wrong. We were wrong. We're so sorry. They feel some kind of hammer coming down. They can feel it coming. I mean, you look at what's happening. There's a guy, I don't know if you follow him. What is his name? Robbie Starbuck or something. He's on X. And he is the guy. He's a former child actor who's turned conservative pundit. And he has took it upon himself to go after these woke companies. And he's gone after Tractor Supply. He's gone after
Harley-Davidson.
Harley-Davidson, John Deere, and now Lowe's. And he's getting these people to challenge them. And one by one, these large companies are eliminating their DEI. They're eliminating all these things they've spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to develop. They're realizing, and by the way, they don't do that. These multi-billion dollar companies don't walk away from things like that unless they feel some kind of pressure, some kind of shift is happening. And if anything that came out of the wah-wah that was positive, is it woke a lot of people up, and it has caused a lot of people to say we're not going down that road again. So I feel like the Zuckerbergs and all these other people that have had control for so many years are feeling that. They're feeling like if we're going to stay in business and if we're going to still have some type of control going forward, we've got to at least act a certain way, say a few things, piecemeal some stuff out and with a humble heart and a repentive spirit to try to make it look like we've seen the light. But I don't believe it for a minute that they've seen the light, because at their very nature goes against truth. You shall know the truth and it shall set you free. What have we been programmed to believe for years now? Live out your truth. You hear me say, this is my truth. What's your truth? This is my truth. We have been programmed a lie. Because there's only one truth. There's only one truth. And the truth is not a concept. The truth is a person. It's Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You don't come through me. There's no other way. And if you don't believe what I said you're supposed to believe, you're believing a lie. Anything that's against what I said is true is a lie. And so the control that we're supposed to have over our lives is him. We're supposed to be in slaves to him, in bondage to him, in his glory. And it just breaks my heart to see churches and mainline pastors and even great content creators that have an opportunity to have a platform. They're becoming woke. They're lining up. Think about this. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, the pulpits were deafening silent. I mean, it was very few.
Sad.
Very sad. I mean, I'm talking about 50 years this was in place. And you would think that these great pastors would have at least said a word about it. They were silent as crickets. And guess what? Same thing when an attempted assassination happened against a candidate. By the way, I told my church, and I don't care if people believe me or not, but this is true. If they would have tried to assassinate Joe Biden, it would have been the same response from me.
Right.
because it's the attempted assassination of a political candidate in the most prominent country of the world. And the next Sunday, silence. No one said anything. No one. And by the way, many of them have never even acknowledged it even happened. And now we done moved on. Listen, that was like just a month and a half ago. That happened a month ago. Biden was running for president. I did an interview. Ricky, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm gonna send you the link after this because I want you to watch this. You talk about memory hole. You talking about control and controlling the narrative. I found a interview that Joe Biden did 9 days before the infamous letter was posted on X where he stepped aside and said, I've searched my soul and I've stepped aside for the sake of the country. 9 days prior, he was in Detroit, Michigan. He sat down with a young guy, looked like he's maybe in late 20s, interviewed him, very prominent YouTuber, a 45-minute interview that has never been covered by Fox News, CNN, or no YouTuber has ever shown. It's like they wiped it. You can still find it, but it's very difficult to find. 9 days prior, this man looks at Joe Biden and says, this young man looks at Joe Biden and says, are you going to be the candidate for president in November? And he said, is there 100% chance that you're going to be the candidate in November? Joe Biden leans back and says, 1,000%. He said, nothing will remove me. I am the president. I am the candidate. And I will run for this office. 9 days.
So what happened?
It's been wiped.
Right.
You can't find it anywhere. I made a short out of it. It got flagged on every platform. None of my shorts get flagged. This one got flagged, has the least views of any of them. Why?
Why did he get flagged? He said it.
He said it. He didn't say 100. He leaned forward and said 1,000%.
What?
Nothing will take me off the ballot.
Welcome to 1984, folks. George Orwell, 1984. It's here.
We
got less than 10 minutes, and I've got some questions I want to ask you. Let's talk about the future. We've talked about the past. We've talked about the present. Let's talk about the future. Let me say this real quick. Since we're on since we're talking about Donald Trump, I can't shake this, brother. I have wrestled with this, and I can't shake this. I don't care what political affiliation you are, that you're listening from the big picture, End Time Headlines, or if you just stumbled on here. I don't really care what political affiliation. You cannot, unless you hold to this ridiculous, absurd conspiracy theory that the whole thing was staged. Now, it's amazing how these people can say that the attempted assassination on Trump was staged. But could you imagine if the roles reversed and that was Biden and somebody in the conservative camp came out and actually said that this was staged? There'd be a complete uproar. The fact checkers would come out. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. I can't shake the fact that the one undeniable thing is, regardless if you love the man or you hate the man, we cannot deny that God supernaturally preserved that man, protected him and preserved him. Now, the real question is, here's the thing I wrestle with, Larry, at night. Why? Is, watch this, there's only so many scenarios. Here's the crazy thing. Now, somebody get on here and say, and I know how people are, guys. I've done this many years. I know the content or the comments. I know what people's going to say. And no, we're not worshiping Trump, so please don't start that stuff. I want to tell you, listen, and you may say, well, Trump's a wicked man. He did this and that. I want to remind you that in your Bible, God himself called Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king at one time. Didn't know God, didn't serve God. And God called him my servant.
Yes.
Let that sink in. So the point is, God, whether you hate him, you love him, God has a purpose for this man in this hour. Now, I don't know what that is. So let's talk about the future. Is it that he's going to win the election? Or is it something else? I don't know. We don't have a crystal ball here, and neither one of us call ourselves prophets. And I don't know. Maybe Larry's got a word. We'll toss it to him. So that's one thing. All right, number two. Here's the questions we get all the time. What we're seeing is this, and I think you're going to, I think I already know what you're going to say on this, but I'm going to throw this out because I know people are going to ask these questions. Are we seeing election warfare? Now, what that is principalities, power, spiritual way, and it always ramps up every 4 years in America, especially election warfare. Are we seeing election warfare? Is this all the judgment of God on our nation? Is this man-made? Or, here it is this all of the above? Is this a combination of all these things going on? And a number three question is, I know this is a lot, what does the future hold for Christian and truther podcasters like you and I? Like, where are we going to go? What are we going to go underground? Because here's the deal. My app is on Apple and it's on it's on Android. But remember, they went after Parler and they removed it from the complete. Yeah. So, and even a website. You can go, we have a website, but remember, this is the internet, okay? Internet. And they can come and take that down. So are we, could this be the makings of history repeating itself? And China's already there, Russia's already there, North Korea's already there, and that's the, are we seeing the beginning, the trickles of what could become the underground movement even here in America?
Oh yeah, man.
I know it's a lot.
Yeah. Well, the last question about what is watchmen like ourselves and podcasts like this going to do? You know, as we said earlier, whether it's your app, whether it's a platform, whether it's the website, it's all connected to the internet, and the powers that be control the internet. So, I think it would be a long, when I say a long road, not far as time, but things have to happen to get to a place to where they realize there's nothing we can do to stop this Ricky Scapero. There's nothing we can do anymore to shut up Larry Ragland or whoever it is. They're going to fight everything that we tell them to shut up about. They're going to keep telling the truth. So the only thing left for us to do is just flip the switch on the internet. And so I one of the things that's a mantra for my show and for my pulpit and for my life, I tell people, look, the reason everything's going to digital, it's very simple. Digital is programmable. And if it's programmable, it's cancelable. So the reality is this. That's why they want your money to be digital. That's why they want your cars to be digital. That's why I want everything to be digital, because if it's digital, it has a switch on it that can be turned off. If it's a material thing that you can put in your hand that you can barter with and trade, like used to, you can't flip the switch on that. So that's why they're trying to do away with all of that, trying to make it all programmable, all controllable. So that's why we're being pushed. I mean, look, we're doing it right now. We're taking advantage of it for the kingdom.
Yeah.
But we're able to sit in two different states and communicate this, and we're going to send this to all the world. And so there'll be people touched all over the world, and it's a blessing. It's a godly thing. I believe the internet was created by God. But the enemy, quite frankly, the church, just like everything else, slept on it and it allowed the enemy to take it. And now we're just sort of trying to play catch up on what we can do. But the reality is this, is the gospel was produced and the gospel went around the world before the internet existed.
Exactly.
And we may have to go back to that again. I think about, I've been pastoring the same church for 30 years. And when I first started out, there wasn't no such thing as the internet. And you couldn't afford to be on Christian television if you wasn't a gigantic ministry. So your ministry function on the ground. You preached the gospel. You invited people to church. You went out and handed out flyers. You grew the kingdom. You did outreaches in the community. And I believe that may be what we're going to be forced back into. And it's probably a good thing to take the church back down a few notches off their high horse digital high horse now. You know, nowadays people say, we're reaching the world at our church, and they ain't never been on a missions trip. They ain't never reached out in their community. They just get in front of a camera.
Come on.
And they believe that's reaching the world. That's not reaching the world. Yes, it is reaching the world, but that's not the Great Commission by itself. That's a part of the Great Commission. We are doing a part of the Great Commission, but go into all the world, not just send a signal into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So this is a part of it, but this is not all of it. So I believe that's ultimately why the enemy is coming against these kind of platforms, because the enemy can see not just biblically, not just preaching, but just waking people up to the truth. And that's why, you know, you don't see the EU arresting Zuckerberg. You don't see the EU arresting the owner of Apple. of these kind of things. No, they're wanting to arrest platforms that are on the same internet that Zuckerberg's internet is on, but is not policing what people want to say sometimes. And I know they can be dangerous, and I know that things can you know, free speech, you know, I like what Elon Musk said when he was being interviewed by Don Lemon. Don Lemon was trying to corner him. And he said, why does X not believe in moderation? And he goes, I love his response. He said, he looked at Don Lemon. He said, okay, so you love censorship. He goes, I don't love censorship. I'm not talking about censorship. I'm talking about just moderation. He said, moderation is a communist word for censorship.
Mm.
And he goes, listen, the reality is this, if it's illegal, we will take it down. If it is against the law, if the governments make a law and it is against the law that I can show a law that this is actually legitimately against the law, such as he brought up abuse of younger people is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That way. He said, that's illegal. He said, that's not going to be on X. That's illegal. If that shows up, we'll take it down. He goes, but if it's not illegal, he said, by the way, hate speech is only hate speech when somebody says something that you don't like.
Come on.
And he said, that's all hate speech is in the definition of the modern world. He said, so come after me. He said, well, what are you going to do? I don't know if you saw this clip. He said, what are you going to do when all these advertisers start jumping off of X and saying, I don't want to be a part of something that doesn't censor? He literally said, blank them. I could care less, blank them all. That's what he said. He goes, because the reality is this, I don't need their money. If they want to be a part of our growing app, they can. If they don't want to be, then, you know, that's the way I feel about it. So I'm not endorsing that kind of language, and I'm certainly not endorsing Elon Musk. I say this all the time. Elon Musk is one of the most unusual, interesting people that's ever existed in our lifetime. He is either being used by God to save free speech, and I think to some extent he is, or he may be the Antichrist, or at least he's creating the technology for the Antichrist.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
Dude.
Yep.
He's a weird dude, but I'm also thankful that he's, you know, who knows what would have happened to this world if he would not have bought X. X is a place where now you can actually go get the truth of what's going on. You can't get it anywhere else. X and Telegram, and they're under attack. But the future, to sum it up, the future, where are we going? You know, the Bible tells us very clearly where we're going. The Bible says the same world that in the last days perilous times would come. He lists all these things, these manifestations of the intensifying of these demon spirits and these sins that will become prominent, even more prominent than ever. It will look like there is no hope for this world. This world is going to be shaken to its core. Whether you are pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, doesn't matter. The reality is this, even if you're pre-trib, this world is going to go through things like we have never seen. We're on the precipice of it. I believe we're on the precipice of World War III. I believe World War III has actually already begun. But in the biblical sense, it will intensify greatly after we're gone. But what I'm saying is this, is world wars are going to intensify. Pestilences are going to intensify. Earthquakes, storms, everything that we always talk about in end times, we are literally going to see them escalate on a level that we've never seen. But the same Bible that says the world will be shaken. It says, in fact, everything. That's including the church. That's including your family. That's including finances. That's including your health. Everything is going to be shaken. Until that which cannot be shaken remains. And quite frankly, there is only one thing. There is only one thing in this world that cannot be shaken, and that is the power of the church. And he said, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so the reality is this, we've got tough times ahead of us, but I believe we're on the actual verge of the greatest moment in the history of the church. And we'll be smaller in number than we've ever been. The remnant is smaller than we could even imagine, but it's more powerful than we could even imagine. And so will we remain on this platform? I hope so. I hope that God does a miracle. I hope that when we come through November and beyond, even the next 4 years, that something happens that shakes this nation to where we are able to do this, Ricky, until the Lord returns. Man, wouldn't it be awesome if me and you are doing a live show and then we both disappear because we both get raptured?
Come on.
I mean, and we've pre-programmed the, because we know it's so close, we've pre-programmed this scroll to go across. We've told AI, if I disappear, run this scroll. You have been left behind. Do not take the mark, whatever. I mean, I'm just believing
that would be amazing.
These kind of things are possible.
Yeah.
But until then, we've got to hunker down. We've got to stand firm in our faith. And it's time for us to stop being quiet. We've got to raise our voice. It's time for the remnant to raise our voice. And I want to encourage you right now, do not allow yourself to be discouraged. Be encouraged. God is not going to lose this thing. He's chosen you. He's chosen me. He's chosen you. He's chosen everybody that's watching or listening to this to be alive in this moment. And he didn't choose you to just take up space and breathe air. He chose you to be a voice and to make a difference. In Jesus' name.
Well, folks, what Bishop Larry talked about, what we talked about today, just confirms to me what I've felt in my spirit for a long time, and that God, consequently, when government tyranny rose to power, God always had. You go back to the Book of Kings, during a governmental tyranny that rose up, Ahab and Jezebel, you had an Elijah, and then in the time of John the Baptist, and John came in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. So I think, Brother Larry, is what you just confirmed to me is what I felt in my spirit a long time, is God is raising up, just like you said, a remnant. God is raising up voices crying in the wilderness. And like we said earlier, like he said earlier, these voices, listen, John didn't have a loudspeaker. He didn't have a megaphone. He didn't have a billboard. He didn't have a social media platform. Come on, he didn't have any of this. He just raised his voice in the wilderness at the bank of the Jordan. And the Bible says that they came to him. So I don't know where this leads in the future. I don't know where we'll be. But listen, the devil's not going to shut our voice down. Whether we have to preach down by a river, come on somebody, down by a creek, behind a dumpster, in an empty warehouse, in a church, a building, whatever, I believe that God will amplify our voice in this hour, and there will always be a remnant that are hungry to hear the word of the Lord. So Larry, listen, it's always an honor to have you on. It's been an hour, if you can believe that. We've covered so much, and there is so much happening right now. There's so much to really just pray about, intercede about. I'm going to, again, it's an honor to have you on, and looking forward to being again back together again soon in the future. Yes. And we're going to, and remember, guys, I want to remind you, if you've not went to Larry's website, again, www.larryragland.com. Go over, find the website, go over there, subscribe to him. You can find him on YouTube, The Big Picture. You can find all that there so you can keep up with him. Subscribe, like, hit the bell notification. All of our guys, all of our folks on End Time Headlines, go show him some love. And if the Lord puts it on your heart to sow into his ministry, go ahead and be obedient to that. And I just want to say, we love you guys. We love you and Sandy and what you do. And why don't you close this out, brother? I'm going to kick it over to you. Close this out in a prayer, whatever the Lord's leading you on your heart. And we're going to sign off. And before I do that, guys, I want to remind you a couple things. Number one, again, while we have it, go get your app today, Apple, Android, download it. Hit yes to push notifications. Listen, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you week after week, as always, want to encourage you to swing by and whatever the Lord puts on your heart, be obedient. You can give two different ways. Right there on your screen, you can give electronically. The app is the easiest thing to do. Just go all the way down the bottom where it says donate and click there. Or for whatever reason you don't want the app, go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Hit the donate button, hit the support button. And then if you wish to give old school, and you wish to give by check or money order, you can make it out there right there on your screen. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And also, one quick reminder, guys. Many of you are End Time Headlines family. We've talked about this for about 2 weeks now. We finished a room designated to live prayer sessions. This is going to be awesome. Live prayer, intercessory prayer. We did a poll and you guys responded. So we're going to kick this off. I wanted to kick it off Monday night, this coming Monday night, but I completely forgot that it was Labor Day. So we're going to push it out another 2 weeks. I know some of y'all are disappointed, but I know a lot of people's going to be at the lake and with your family. So listen, I believe it's October 7th, which is going to be very interesting because October 7th is the anniversary of what happened in Israel. So that night, mark it on your calendar, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, Monday night, live prayer. We're going to stream it live right there. We're going to take your requests. We're going to pray over them. And you listen, I need you guys, if you guys are listening by Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, or X, Instagram, anywhere else outside of YouTube, you need to come over to our YouTube channel and subscribe because we're going to stream it from YouTube. We're not going to stream it from Telegram or any of these other programs. We're going to stream it right here from YouTube. So we are looking forward to that. So now I want to give this back over to Bishop. He's going to close this out. We love you guys. We appreciate you. And we're looking forward to being with you again.
Thank you. And I also want to say to you, Ricky, thank you for having me on your program. It's a great honor. You will continue to be on our program. We've moved some things around, but you and I have talked about it. You are going to be a consistent guest with us because no one responds to end times headlines, but also end time prophecy like you. So we're very thankful for End Time Headlines, all that your work that you do, and the honor to have, it is my honor to be on your program. So to the ETH family, to the Big Picture family, or anyone that's watching this, I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, I pray that this program has not created a fear in anyone watching them, but almost an excitement, an anticipation of knowing of that God has chosen us to be a part of this moment. So, Lord, I pray against any spirit of fear, any spirit of confusion. I pray against the spirit of religion. I pray against a spirit of politics as well, that none of this would be funneled through offense, that it would, that somebody would take this side, that side, but they would hear that this is two men of God that are called by God, that are on here just trying to warn us, watchmen, opening up our eyes to this moment. Let us understand the gravity of where we're at in the history of humanity, that we have been chosen by God to be that generation, that remnant generation that is rising. So, Lord, I pray for them. I pray for their bodies, if they're sick in their body, and especially I pray, God, for their minds, that their minds would be settled, that worry and anxious spirits and panic attacks would be broken, that they would have peace in their lives. And then finally, God, I pray that if someone is watching this, has been able, they're just sort of hooked by this conversation, but they just sort of don't know about, they've never really committed themselves to God, or maybe at some point as a child they did, but they've walked away from it, but they feel something pulling them back to an understanding of God, and they want to cry out to him that they would repent tonight of the sins that they know is in their life, return to God, give their heart to God, and submit their lives to, and make him Lord. You do it right now. Make him Lord and Savior over your life. And I promise you, no matter what is coming, you'll have a peace that passes all understanding that only comes from God. And I speak this right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. All right, Bishop, we love you. We're looking forward to seeing you soon, brother. So until we see you next time, y'all be safe down there in Alabama.
Yes, sir. You out there in Georgia, too.
Yep. All right, guys. I hope you've enjoyed this program. And remember to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Help us push this out. Listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. But remember, I want to leave you with the word of encouragement. Luke 21:28, Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. God bless you guys. Until we see you guys next time, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.